Hey, everybody. Hey, you got your Flock of the Gold shirt on. I didn't notice.
Yeah, we're already talking about the MILFs in this fucking show.
Oh, and also, we have had a request for... Where is that raccoon? That right there. Where is that raccoon?
Oh, okay. So we're asking
for that. I keep forgetting that I have it. Yeah, I think Danny Rowling said, too, that there was, like, a sick VW bus in this. Yeah, it was. Actually, my aunt used to have a VW bus. It wasn't green, which actually would have been really cool. Hers was red, but it was exactly the same year, I think. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I noticed that, too. What's that? What's that noise?
I don't know what this thing is making. Hold on.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, like, what the actress looked like. I just watched it. We watched it last night, and then I watched it again, like, this morning.
She couldn't have been all that, Milfy, because Jenny would have remembered her.
It's weird, because I kind of... Well, she must have been just, like, generic pretty or something like that. Like, she wasn't...
Jenny's got bizarre taste. She likes little nerdy chicks with fucking pigtails and goofy glasses and...
I mean, it depends. Well, like it depends bookworm. On the. Well, that's kind of what that's. Bookworm. Well, because that's kind of what I'm like, too.
Yeah, checks out, yeah.
So, I mean, but it depends. I mean, it depends on the person. Yeah, I kind of like personalities more than anything.
Okay.
Brian Smith says, I'm pumped that I'm watching live. Well, we're glad that you made it here today, too. You know what's really weird? This episode, as Danny Rowling said, is on the same disc as The Haunting of Summerwind, which is like Tom's favorite episode, so we've seen it like a million times. But I barely remembered this episode, but then we watched it and I'm like, wow, this is a really good episode. Like, why?
It's one of the best ones.
Yeah, like, why didn't this one, like, why didn't I remember this one from...
I think we were getting it confused with Echoes from the Grave.
From the Past.
From the Past.
This one's called Echoes from the Grave. Well, see, that's why I forgot that there was two that had, like, titles that similar. So, maybe I was just kind of like, well, I mean, Echoes from the Past was good, too. Like, we did a show about that, but I think this one was slightly better.
It's right there with Summer Wind. About like that.
Yeah.
It's a different story, but it's good. It's pretty, there's something about it that's kind of credible for me. The one witness who was a kid when he saw it all, a lot of the things that he says kind of sound like the kind of things that I would say after seeing the shit up at Mammoth about how he's in bed just fucking frozen, the footsteps coming in, and just you know, and he just said he was afraid to talk about it and stuff, and I was like, yeah, that's what it's actually like. You know, you don't go running to the damn newspapers. In fact, they did go to the newspapers on this. Their friend went to the newspapers. They didn't want their names mentioned in it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get into how that worked out. But, yeah, they actually didn't... I don't think they went to the newspaper guy necessarily, like, to get it published in the paper. Yeah. They went to him because they were... Because most of this happened back in the 60s, so it's not like you could just, like, go to the internet and, like, find some ghost hunters to, like, come and help you out. Like, back then, you didn't really know what to do. Like, there weren't really that many, like, avenues that you could pursue. Yeah, Danny Rowling said, this episode kind of reminds me of Amityville 1 and 2. Yeah, there was, and actually, like, toward the end, I even said, oh, it's an Amityville horror moment. Now, I will say, there's not a huge amount of outside information about this one. However, the woman, Nancy Stallings, she wrote a book in 1996, about it. It is apparently out of print, and it was only available in hardcover, so I didn't, like, I couldn't read any of it. But I do have the synopsis, like, at the end where, you know, because I kind of wanted, because, you know, sometimes on Amazon, like, you can look inside the books, you can, like, read parts of it and stuff, but this was too old, like, to have any of it.
Sebastian's mentioned in my old unit, the 101st Airborne Division, that they're in Romania, fucking with all that Russian stuff going on. All I'm going to say about that, I know what's going on with the 101st and the Army. The readiness is down at fucking rock bottom. They better pray they don't get into a fight. Because those Russians are ready to go, they would tear that ass up. The 101st just not equipped to deal with fucking tanks and combined arms fucking attacks of like what's going on right now. You know, it's just the 101st Airborne Division was a good unit for beating up on third world little rebels and shit like Vietnam and Afghanistan. That's kind of more what it was made for. More kind of like patrol and law enforcement type stuff. Nothing's going to happen. That's just politics. They're not going to do shit. They're not ready. Okay.
All right. So anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand. So, are we ready to start talking about the episode?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I didn't know. Ready I didn't know go. If you had, like, some other stuff that you needed to address or anything like that.
My sinuses are killing me. I don't know if I'm getting sick or what.
Man, you got all kinds
did
of
that just come in or something?
No.
Okay. That's
just been there for a while. Yeah, we already watched it and everything.
Seen that in a while. All right.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to kind of take it back and put it in the man cave.
Yeah, I didn't put it away. All right. There's the Sicario.
We just had it over here from when we reviewed it, which was a long time ago.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago. It's just, you know, I put stuff down and I don't.
Yeah, but Danny, you're right. This is a heavy hitting episode,
which is weird. And it's like I didn't know why I didn't remember it. I don't know why I didn't remember it because this was a good episode.
Yeah, I had seen it a couple times, this one, but I'd just forgotten all about it. I think I got it confused with the other one.
Probably.
It's as good as Summer Wind.
Yeah.
If you like Summer Wind, you'd like this one. It has pretty credible witnesses. It's a wild story. I kind of have my own ideas of what it was, but I think it was poltergeist. You know, I don't think it was so much ghost. It did have a good parapsychologist involved in it, using a trance medium. That Austrian guy.
Hans Holzer.
Yeah, Holzer, yeah. Who he's done a lot of good work, but... And I can understand how he wants to use a trance medium as somebody who's had... NDEs and out-of-body experiences along with that other shit, that might work. But you'd have to have somebody you could really rely on, not somebody that's just faking it. Oh, yeah, I went into the spirit world and saw it. Yeah, I fixed communism, too. Like old Reverend Moon going into the fucking spirit world to fix communism. He said, just give it time. It'll come down. I fixed it. You know, yeah, so, you know, you could have somebody that bullshit like that. There is some weird stuff about the case where Hans and his girl could have fucking rigged some shit up and faked it, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that, because that's why I'm always... I don't know. It's like some of this stuff is maybe slightly more credible because it happened a long time ago, so it would have been a lot easier. Like, nowadays, it'd be super easy to fake some of the shit.
Yeah.
Back then, not impossible, but more of a pain in the ass. Not saying that you couldn't do it, because you could, but...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Background checks are a lot easier now.
Yeah. But the thing about it,
research.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that if somebody else found that information, if you found that information, then somebody else could have found that information. That's all I'm going to say. We'll get into that later.
All you got to do is know the location.
That's right.
If you know the location beforehand, you can make up a story.
Yeah. I'm not sure I entirely... Now, they didn't mention... these people use their real names because I did find, some other mentions of them. And the book that Nancy Stallings wrote in 1996, if she's talking about the real place, she said what street the house was on. It's in Baltimore, by the way. But she didn't give the house number, at least not in the synopsis. I did kind of a search because I was curious, but I did find one that kept popping up, but I don't know if that was the right house or not. I looked at the picture... And it's, hard to tell. Obviously, it's not the same as the one that was, in the episode. But it could be that. I'm not real sure. I don't know how long the street is that they lived on. So, I don't know. Somebody's lived in that house for a really, really long time. Like, I checked it on Zillow, and it's apparently, been not... It hasn't been on the market for, a really long time. So, I guess somebody owns it. So, and there's no other stories about anybody living in that particular house, if that's the right one, complaining about it being haunted or anything. So there's that. I even looked on other sites like Maryland hauntings, like Baltimore hauntings and stuff like that. So, and I didn't really see anything come up all that much, but I'll kind of we'll talk about the show and then I'll do what I usually do, find the extra shit, the little extra bits that I found at the end. Zach says, hey y'all, pretty sure I got the first cold of the year. Oh boy.
Yeah, I get some funny shit going on, too. I'm not worried about it, though.
Yeah.
It won't kill me.
That's famous last words.
Yeah, it won't kill me.
Danny Rowling said, Hans Holzer, wasn't he in other haunting episodes? He might have been.
Yeah,
he's
in a couple of them.
He's actually quite a well-known parapsychologist. I think I read some of his books when I was a teenager.
He's actually good.
He died a while back. I think he died in 2009 or something.
He's good. He's he was one of those old-school parapsychologists that... kind of influenced Stephen King level stuff. All King's writings, he did the research on parapsychology from the universities back in the day. And he's making up stories about what parapsychologists were seeing and how it worked. But he's good. As far as I think he's better than a lot of modern, or most of the modern parapsychologists, because he was a spiritualist in a way, you know. Which it's not a bad thing. I had some shit happen to me that would fall under the vague description of spiritualism. It didn't feel like that at the time. It felt fucking paranormal. Thing is, though, is when you're claiming to go out of the out of body to fix shit or to channel spirits, man, it's very difficult to prove that. Real difficult to prove it. But he evidently had successes in stopping the phenomenon by doing that. So, well, you'd have to be there. It'd all be very subjective. You'd have to see it with your own eyes. How are you going to prove? Yeah, I left my body and dealt with the ghost. It's all good now.
Yeah.
Science would never accept
that.
Well,
see, that's what I mean. You can't...
Yeah.
You can't really prove it as
right.
Anything like that. Because a lot of it's just kind of like you said, like subjective.
It's subjective. I went into another dimension. There's no way to measure it. I couldn't take the camera with me.
Right.
So I can't prove it.
That's what I mean. Well, in a lot of ways, it's like, that's why I'm really skeptical, because it's just like, seems very convenient.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I had an NDE and a fucking OBE, an out-of-body experience that was just spontaneous. Kind of spontaneous. It is a reality. I couldn't prove it. Their witnesses saw it happen. But then they would just say, oh, those witnesses lied. That's what would happen. But witnesses saw me do it. By accident, kind of. I just relaxed and fell asleep and was looking down on myself. And weird shit happened. I did a whole show on it. I'm here if you guys want to hear that.
Well, we've
story.
Done like several shows on it, probably, yeah, I think.
Mentioned it a couple times on shows.
Yeah. But the thing about it, well, this one, and you said this one actually ended a little bit differently, because most of these episodes, yeah, they're like, oh, they have a priest come in, or they have the Wiccans come in, or whoever the fuck. Like, they have somebody come in, and, like, usually they solve the problem.
Yeah.
But this one, they didn't really solve it. They just kind of left.
They ran. They passed the house on to a new buyer and said, fuck it, bye-bye.
Yeah, you, good luck, bye. Yeah. Yeah. Although, like I said, as far as I know... If that's the right house that I'm looking at, it doesn't really seem like anybody else complained about it. So I don't really
know.
Well,
they were working on ending it too, so maybe they did end it. Wasn't Hans trying to end it?
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to like force the ghosts out, but I think that old bitch ghost didn't want to go anywhere.
This had some of the spookiest scenes in this episode too. When I saw. Having seen them again, I was like, oh man, this is fucking good. Especially the one where the black dude that was there to fucking check the gas pipe, and as he's watching it, and you can tell he's getting kind of fucking scared looking at the pipe, and that woman comes up behind him and shit.
Yeah, that was a good jump scare.
It was like
there.
Right out of a really good movie. You know, this is stand up there with the fucking, better than the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, a lot of these episodes are actually. And this was this was season one. This was season one, episode three. Matter of fact, so this is a very, very early episode. But I think that's the reason why, like, this show is so beloved, is because a lot of the episodes are actually better than kind of some
horror movies.
Cheap jack horror movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. this is one of them.
Danny Rowling said, Tom, you should show us a Google Earth shot of the Mammoth Mountain haunted house you stayed at, because it would be cool to see what it looks like. There's, I think, somewhere... when we did a show about it, I think we found pictures of it nowadays.
Yeah, interior shots. It was for sale.
But that was a while back.
Yeah,
It's like it's a condo. It's like a vacation condo.
Yeah. Now the thing is that the interior shots that they showed.
Excuse
me. I have man, my fucking nose is killing me. I have the original paperwork. Or no, we have copies of the paperwork. Did Lois send us the originals or the?
I don't think, I think she just sent me, like, photos or copies of everything.
So we know the exact condo number. But when you go to Google Earth, it doesn't quite line up. That number doesn't quite line up with the photos that it shows. And there was some concept of maybe that they had renumbered some of those condos because some of them had been torn down.
Or they built new ones
and renumbered them.
Like if a new owner took over or some shit.
Because the one that I'm seeing, one that I remember seeing from street view, not looking down on it, but from the street, because the Google truck went through all the parking lots. the one that I'm saying, no, it's that one, it's that one, is not, it doesn't read the same number on it. Or at least on the Google thing. I don't think there was a number on the building itself. It's just now when you go forward,
yeah,
like when you're moving forward on Google Earth, it'll show you what address location you're at. It doesn't quite line up. It's like a house or two off.
But like I said, that could have a lot of explanations.
Could just be GPS problems and shit.
Could be GPS problems. Could be like a new property development thing took over, and they, like you said, tore some down, or they built new ones and they renumbered all the ones that were there. Like, who knows?
But it's still pretty much the same. It looks the same on the outside, same color and everything. It doesn't look like it aged at all. On the inside, it had just had new carpeting. Most of the furniture looked pretty much the same. Fireplace in the same place. They changed one of the hallways up on the top floor. You could get to the bathroom directly from the bedroom. You didn't have to go down the hallway anymore. They changed that. They just added a door because that wasn't there before. Other than that, it looked the same pretty much.
Danny really wants to know what the address was. What was the name of that place? It was
Chateau de Montage, right?
Montaigne.
Montaigne.
Like, basically,
no,
like
Montage.
No, it
Montage,
wasn't.
Was it? Okay.
I typed it. It basically means mountain chateau, but in French.
Yeah. Yeah, Chateau Montage. That's right, Montaigne. Okay, and I don't remember the exact. What was it? 30.
I don't remember
11,
that.
311.
I don't remember
or something.
That. But I do remember.
We have it written down.
Yeah, I got it. It's in the book somewhere.
Yeah.
No. We changed the. No, we changed the name of it in the book.
We changed the name of it. We didn't want to get sued
because we didn't want to get sued. But yeah, in real life, it was. I'm pretty sure it was called Chateau de Montaigne or something. Like mountain chateau, I think, is what it meant.
For some reason, I thought it was Montaigne, but maybe.
No, I mean, it's spelled similar. It's Montaigne, I think, but that's Montaigne.
Okay.
Or something like that. It's not montage.
Okay.
You know, I took French for several years, and I'm sure I'm kind of pronouncing it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it just means mountain chateau.
Oh. Yeah, man, mountain.
But, yeah, it's like a... Like
each
I said,
one's a little bungalows with two condos.
Yeah.
Two.
Like, do some people live there all the time, or is it just, like, just for vacation shit?
I think it's just for vacation stuff. I mean, you might have some people that live there full time.
Because I didn't know if it was kind of like a timeshare type of situation, or...
At the time that we were there, a lot of them were owned by companies.
Yeah. So they'd send people, like, executives up there, like, for vacation and stuff. Chateau of Blood. Zach said, and I think he's brought this up on another show, I still think part of what fueled the weirdness at Mammoth is because the mountain is on the ridge of a supervolcano, caldera. All that magnetic and seismic shit can wreak havoc, maybe.
The thing is that it just started there, man. We left, and it was over at Lois's house, and it was at my house. It just went wherever we were at the time, as long as we were together. So, I don't think, it wasn't location-based, other than the fucking synergy that got built up of going down there, because it was kind of spooky. I don't want to. Look, we got to do this episode. I don't want to get back into that shit because I'll fucking talk for hours on that shit.
We've talked about it lots of times.
Yeah.
We've talked about it lots of times. All right. So, this we're talking about Echoes from the Grave. Now, this is. They used their real names on this one and they had their faces on it. They had a bunch of kids, but only one of their kids. It wasn't a kid, obviously. He was growing up now, but only one of the kids, like, turned up on the real shit. And Hans Holzer was on there, too. So I think this was only like a couple of years before he died, matter of fact. So their names are Ron and Nancy Stallings. And as I said, this took place in Baltimore. And I think the story started, I think they said 1965, right? That's like when they first got married. So there's like a little bit of a prologue. And they say that Ron and Nancy, it's like they're going to get married. Like their wedding is like in a week or some shit like that. And Nancy apparently has a nightmare about them, like, going and, like, opening the door to a new house because they've been talking about, like, buying a house and stuff. And they open the door, and then there's this scary old woman, like, in a bonnet, and she, like, swings an axe at them like she's going to, like, chop their heads open or something like that. So she has this nightmare, like, a week before they get married. So, so they get married, and then, like, about a month later, they start looking to buy a house. Now, they both have... They don't have any kids together yet, but they both have a bunch of kids from prior marriages. So it's like a blended family, you know, like Brady Bunch kind of situation. I think like the kid even said it was like the Brady Bunch, like right after I said it, because I was like, oh, okay, Brady Bunch. So they have six kids. So I don't know which ones are whose, but it doesn't really matter. So there's six of them. And they're looking for a big place because, you know, six kids, that isn't too expensive. So, you know, good luck with that. Now, when they find this house, Nancy said that she didn't see anything particularly wrong with it when they first looked at it. She just thought, oh, you know, it's what a deal. It's like really big and it's perfect. And, you know, and it's in our price range. And she said that it wasn't the same house that she'd had the nightmare about anyway. So she didn't really like think about it. You know what I mean? Because I think the reason that they showed that like prologue was because later on she has some dreams that turn out to be like kind of prophetic. So she was kind of making the point that she kind of thought this was maybe a prophetic dream, but it wasn't the same house like when they went to look at it. So the owner of the house, as it turns out, is this old woman. I don't know if the old woman had died or if she like went to a home. I don't think they ever said. They basically said it's just an old woman whose son is selling the place. So I'm assuming that the woman just got sent to a home or she dropped dead or something. So the house was built in the 1920s. Now the house had also been empty for a year. And they said it needed some minor repairs. I think in real life, like, which I'll get into in a minute, this house was what they call a handyman special, which means like it's cheap and stuff, but it's going to need like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of work. But, you know, but on the show, they said it basically just needed minor repairs, like painting and shit like that. So after they leave, like after they buy the place and they seal the deal and everything, the son who sells in the house looks in their window of their sweet green VW van and says, "I hope you're good fighters," which, Ron, who was on the show too, he's like, "We thought that was a very weird thing to say," which like I said, it is a weird thing to say. Although the first thing that he thought, he's like, well, maybe we thought maybe just like the neighbors were assholes or right. were just like, he didn't say assholes, but you know what I mean? He's like, I thought we had bad neighbors and like we'd be fighting them. He didn't think anything about ghosts like he probably wouldn't. So they all move in within the next couple of months. Now, Alan, who is one of Nancy's kids from her first marriage, and like I said, the only kid who's a grown up to appear on the show. Now, although when they move in, like, the program shows, like, a couple of, like, POV shots of ghosts, like, kind of peering at people through the window, like, as they're coming in or, like, from the upstairs balcony and shit, and it's all, like, sepia-toned or whatever. Alan said specifically that when they first moved in, he said it seemed like a normal house. He's like, it just seemed normal, just old. And, you know, he's like, it was cool because it was a lot bigger than any house they'd lived in, but he didn't think anything was, like, weird about it. Like, he didn't get any weird feelings or anything. Although, he did say that the basement was creepy. But like I said, basements in most houses are creepy. That's just kind of like the nature of the beast, I guess. So he goes down there, like, to put something down there, and there were kind of some more POV shots. He did say that going down to the basement, he said it felt like something had happened there and maybe something else could happen there. Like, there was some weird kind of, like, potentiality type of energy in the air.
Yeah, I know exactly what he was talking about.
He said he didn't like it from the first day. That's what he said.
Yeah, it's the same sensations I would get in places like that and another one, a bad house. It felt like something happened there and something could happen again.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I know exactly. And because these little comments that he said made me really kind of think that this dude's... has actually had these experiences, because some of the people that I think are lying don't bring up little details like that. They're just, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. And he said he didn't specifically say that, because he said the house felt normal, but it's just about the basement that he said that he didn't like that. That he said even from the first day he thought the basement felt weird. So then there's a scene where Nancy goes to open the windows, it looks like the bedroom or whatever, and discovers, like several other episodes of the show, that the windows have been nailed shut, which of course she finds very, very weird. There's been several episodes where they moved into a house and the windows are nailed shut. That's always a red flag, right?
I think there's only two.
Really?
This one and the other one.
I could have sworn there was more than
the
that.
The other one they were nailed shut, that's where the family was all living in one room.
Which episode was that? Have we done that one yet? What the fuck is the name of that one? Because I keep thinking of that one and I can't think of like which one it is.
They wanted to buy the house. They said, "Can we see upstairs?" And he's like, "You want to go upstairs?" And
why do you want to go upstairs?
"We don't go upstairs," type of deal.
And like, that one, like, not just the windows, but I think also the doors were nailed shut too, weren't they? Like upstairs or some of them weren't?
I think just windows were nailed shut, I think.
I thought some of the doors
were. Then they found out later why they were nailed shut. When they unnailed them, they kept finding the windows open. So it would open the windows.
Yeah.
But I think they had some of the doors blocked off.
Yeah, like, or like it had, or had like planks in front of her, or as though it was shit in front of it, or something.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Had some of the.
I can't remember what episode that is though.
Locked off.
Because that would be really weird if you were going to like look at a house to buy it, and there's like a whole family like living in one room, like with mattresses and stuff, like looking
and scared
at,
to go
like
upstairs.
Looking at you, like I'm like that's a horror movie waiting.
Yeah,
to happen,
scared to go upstairs. Then you go upstairs, and like some of the upper rooms are all blocked off with furniture, and yeah.
See, that kind of shit is, like, creepy to me. That's a great setup.
Yeah.
That's a great setup. Like, all that kind of stuff. Because it doesn't seem... Because it's, like, there's no context to it, and it's, like, sinister, but you're not entirely sure why. That kind of stuff is, like, really creepy.
Yeah, and the dude's being all dodgy about why it was like that.
Right. Oh, no reason.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, that's, like, super creepy. So, yeah, windows are nailed shut. So she kind of, like, pries them open and whatever. Now, not too long after moving in... Nancy's in the kitchen, and the kitchen faucet, like, came on by itself. Now, the way she was talking, it kind of implied that they turned themselves off and on a lot. But at first, they just thought, oh, well, it's an old house. But, I mean, even she had to admit to herself, she's like, I don't really understand how that could happen, like, whether the house was old or not. Like, faucets don't generally turn themselves off and on. But she said that kind of, like, happened a lot. So they're all moved in, like, you know, a couple weeks go by or whatever. Now, after dinner one night, this is, like, seems like a minor thing, but this kind of weirded me out because this reminded me of, like, of your thing, like, what happened to you. So she's in the kitchen, like, I guess it's after dinner or whatever, and she's doing the dishes, and Alan is in there too, but I don't think any of the other kids, because the other kids come in and, like, hand her the dishes or whatnot. So she turns around for a second, and they said the whole dish drainer, they said it wasn't even a thing where it's like, oh, like shit clattered or fell off the thing. They're like the whole dish drainer that had dishes in it moved like in like immediately like from one side of the sink to the other side of the sink. Because she turned like that and then she went to put the dish in the strainer and it was suddenly like on the other side of the sink. Which, like I said, that sounds like some shit that happened like in your thing. So Alan saw it too. And he said, yeah, that freaked him the fuck out. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't blame you, because that would probably freak me the fuck out, too. Like I said, it doesn't really sound like that big a deal, but, I mean, just something just going boot, just like that, that would be, like, really, really alarming. So, yeah, so that happened. So, then fall starts coming in. Now, Alan and his younger brother are in the same room. And Alan said that he usually heard, like, really heavy footsteps, like it sounded like somebody wearing boots in the hall outside his room or, like, coming up the stairs, like, pretty much all the time. He said it was, like, really, really common to hear that kind of noise. So one day, Nancy's out on the porch, and she's, like, doing a painting or something, and Rod is doing yard work. Now, a neighbor drops by who looks like a real fucking busybody. She drops by, and she's like, oh, you know, welcome to the neighborhood, yada, yada. She says, oh, man, the old lady that used to live here was crazy. She asked her son to nail all the windows shut because she thought somebody was coming in and moving all her shit around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Nancy's like, huh, isn't that something? Because we just had this fucking dish thing, like, move around. And like I said, at this point, nothing really, really scary is out other than the dish thing, which freaked him out. But she's like, and other than the faucets turning off and on. But... yeah, so apparently that lady from before, like, thought somebody was breaking in the house and coming in and, like, moving stuff and, like, taking stuff. And so asked her son to nail the windows shut. So then, like, weeks go by without anything really happening. But then Nancy's cousin, Bill, who's a lawyer, he comes to visit and, like, see the house. So Ron is going to go give him a tour, but Bill, they said he walked halfway up the stairs... shit, he got a really weird look on his face, and then he's like, oh, I just remembered, like, I have some shit to do. I have to go to court. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, he's a lawyer, and then he noped the fuck out of the house.
Wouldn't go upstairs, yeah.
He wouldn't go upstairs. He's just like, yeah, I just remembered something I have to do. Bye. It was, like, that kind of situation. He later told them, he's like, I walked halfway up the stairs, and I got this horrible, horrible feeling of dread, like, on the way up the steps, and he just didn't want to go up there anymore. So, there's that. Then one night in October, Nancy and Ron are in bed. Like, Nancy's kind of still awake and looks like Ron's asleep. Then Nancy starts feeling like somebody's watching her. And she tells Ron that she thinks she hears something. I couldn't quite tell what it was, like, on the video because I can't hear that good. And they didn't have... I had the, what do you call them, the closed captioning on, but it didn't say anything, so I don't really know. So then she sees... an apparition, and apparently this is, at least that's what the show showed. I don't look, no, she didn't really specify, but the apparition she saw looked like the same old woman that she saw in her dream that looked like they were gonna, like, look like she was gonna bury an axe in their face. So I'm assuming that it was, like, the same woman that she saw. Now, I kind of like this episode, too, because Ron immediately wakes up and he sees it, too. So it's not like a thing where she's like, I just saw a fucking ghost. And he's like, you're crazy. Go back to sleep. He's like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, he saw it, too. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, the way they showed it is just like this woman in a bonnet coming towards him laughing. And then she just kind of dissipates. Looked pretty good.
It did, yeah. It was like pretty creepy.
She went out of focus.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like she coalesced.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Out of the fog, kind of. She looked like a real battle axe, man.
Yeah.
She was with her fucking body.
Danny's saying the one we're talking about was called, what now? The Dark Side.
I think. We did that one, though, like a long time ago.
I think he's saying that's the one where they were all living in one room.
Yeah, okay, so we already.
When they first got
there.
So
we did do that episode. Yeah. I think, like a long time ago. I'm pretty sure we did that. Ben says, I just remembered I need to visit Canada. Right? It's like, it was like that kind of situation. He just like walks out and he's just like, never mind, I'm gone. But yeah, so I like that they both immediately like got on board because they're like, holy shit, there's a ghost in our house. We need to do something about that. So Ron has an uncle. I think he said his name was Jerry, but I couldn't quite hear it. And Jerry is a priest. I'm just going to call him Jerry. He is a priest. So Ron goes to the church and says, hey, can you come over and bless the house? Because all kind of like weird ghosty shit is happening in there. Now, he said he's pretty sure that his uncle didn't believe him. Now, Ron says he never believed in the afterlife before either, so he wasn't really sure what to do about all of this. So that was, like, all he could think of was, like, go ask his uncle, the priest, to do something. So Jerry is just kind of like, well, I can't come out there for 2 weeks. And it's like, I'm watching the episode, and I'm just like, you're a priest. What the fuck else have you got to do? Yeah. Nothing. That's what. Get your ass over there.
I got children to talk to.
I guess. Yeah. It's like, I can't really think of a single other thing that he could be doing. So, yeah. So Ron's like, dude, I can't wait that long. So the priest says, okay, well, I'll come this afternoon. I'm like, see? You didn't have anything to do. I knew you didn't. Two weeks. What a butthole. So yeah, I don't know the guy. I'm just saying, I just thought that was really funny. Like, oh, he has 2 weeks of priest stuff to do. I'm like, what the fuck could that possibly be? Okay, so anyway, so he comes to the house and he does mass and all that. So Alan's like, well, we kind of hope that the priest coming over and doing the whole, they said he did a whole Catholic mass in there. It was like, it was a whole thing. And he's like, well, we hope that fixed things, you know, and everyone's kind of like, hoping that everything's gonna work out. Now, Nancy said that night, everything seemed quiet at first, and they're like, oh, good, like, maybe it was actually effective. But then, there's a pause, and then Nancy said, and then it started with a vengeance, that's what she said. Now, Nancy said they heard what she called a ruckus out on the porch. And she said that there was a tricycle out there, and it was just going back and forth on the porch, like, by itself.
Yeah.
Right?
They showed other things moving, like, little fucking
Yeah, the show also had a bunch of other shit flying around, too, like, you know, balls of toys and stuff like that, like, yeah. Like hitting the house and stuff. She didn't say that. She did specify that the tricycle was going back and forth by itself. And she did say she heard a ruckus.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, how... I'm sure they dramatized it for the show.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd like to see what it really looked like.
Right.
Was it just a tricycle blowing in the wind and going a few inches forward and a few inches back? They made it look like it was going forward like 9 feet and then it would back up like 9 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it might have just been like...
Might have been just a little bit, yeah.
Like that.
You never can tell.
Yeah, it might have been like totally not impressive.
Yeah.
To me, it would be creepier. I don't know why. Like, it would almost be creepier if it was just the tricycle like going like that, like far.
Yeah.
Like, because when you have, like, all that shit flying around, it just becomes either, you know, kind of sensory overload or it's just, like, over the top. I'm just like, man, just dial it back a little bit. Subtlety. Subtlety is much scary.
They took that scene from Poltergeist when they opened the door.
And all the shit was flying around, yeah.
Looked at the kids.
Like, little records and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Which, to me, I love Poltergeist, but I thought that was a little much.
Right.
I thought that was a little much. Because it's always scarier. Dialing it back is always, like, a little bit scarier, I think. Let's see. Sarah says, I think it's an episode of A Haunting about a Russian or German house spirit or something like that, and it haunts this girl and sits on her chest or something. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Oh, That doesn't sound all that familiar, but it might be one that we haven't seen that many times, or like a newer one or something. But we'll look into it. So yeah, so Ruckus tricycle. So Ron at this point realizes that the priest didn't bless the porch, which made me laugh out loud for some reason. Like, he did the whole house, and then he was just like, he forgot to do the priest, so the ghost like is just fucking everything up on the porch. So I thought that was kind of funny. So Ron goes out there and nails a crucifix on the wall out there, at which point everything just like stops immediately, which again I found very funny. So they're like, fuck this shit, pretty much. And they leave the house and actually drive to Ron's dad, like, has a cabin, which is about, they said it was about an hour outside of Baltimore. So they go and stay there, but they said it's only like a one room cabin though. And obviously it's like, there's the two of them and they have six fucking kids, you know what I mean? It's really far away from like Ron's work and like where the kids go to school and shit like that. So they're like, well, obviously we can't stay here that long because it's like really impractical. So we don't really have a choice. We have to go back. They didn't say how long they stayed at the cabin. I imagine that they went back the next day, but they didn't really say that. So, also, Nancy is pregnant again now. So that's kid number 7. They don't really, I was going to say they didn't mention it again, but yeah, they did, because she had the kid later on. But nothing really happens with the baby. Like, they kind of forget about the baby after a little while. But she's pregnant again at one point. They said they wanted to move. One thing about this family is they didn't really fuck around. They were just like, as soon as that stuff started happening, they're like, yeah, we don't like this. They went and stayed at the cabin, and then they're like, they put the house on the market, you know what I mean, to see if they could sell it. So they said, we wanted to move, we couldn't afford it, but we did think about putting the house on the market. Then they do a scene where, like, Nancy's kind of, like, making food, and she's, like, cutting up vegetables or some shit like that, and in the kitchen, and then the lights above her, like, start flashing on and off. That was just kind of, like, a random thing they kind of threw in there. Now, Alan, then, who's the son, said things would go in cycles. Like, he said for a week or two, like, things would happen every day, but then a month or two would go by with hardly anything happening. So they kind of came up with that, too. So, 1967, Nancy has a son, which is her first child, like, that her and Ron have had together. Because, like I said, they had a bunch of kids, but they were each their separate ones from previous relationships. Now, while she's in the hospital, she's not even in the house, she's kind of hoping she'll get some rest while she's not in the house anymore. But she feels a presence in her hospital room. Now, the program actually shows a scary old bonnet lady creeping up on her, like, kind of behind the curtain or whatever. Like, you can see her little bonnety outline. But all Nancy said was the atmosphere in the room changed and that she felt like somebody was in the room with her. She didn't say that she actually saw anything. Now, she gets up and, like, pulls the bed curtain aside, like, what the fuck? Like, who's in here? But nobody else is in there. They also show that she heard, like, some weird, like, creepy whispering or some shit like that. But then, like, a nurse comes in and is like, what are you doing out of bed? Get the fuck back in there. And she said at this point, like, Nancy realized that, oh, the ghost could follow her, like, wherever she went to, and they don't really do a lot with that later. Well, I don't know, I guess they kind of do, but...
Everything about this story, to me, points to, not a haunting, but RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. I think it's a poltergeist. There's a lot of kids in this house.
A lot.
a family kind of a little bit in turmoil, you know, just having a lot of kids, a lot of energy, and moving to a new place, and the place is fucking spooky and creepy. And the RSPK manifests itself as a ghost or a series of characters with kind of a theme behind it sometimes. You know, a ghost and a demon and a boy and a little boy and an angry man and a fucking some women. You know, it just sounds like poltergeist, little dream characters, artificial ghost. Made by the subconscious.
Yeah, it could be.
What it seems like.
Could be.
See, because it's following around, so I don't think it's location based.
Although they didn't say it followed them after they left.
No, but it might have been burned out by then, and because they don't tend to last that long. Although he did say it came in cycles.
Yeah.
Where it would do things regularly, and then it would peter off. That's human psychic activity. Do you remember when we were writing Mammoth Mountain, and the activity kind of came back.
Yeah.
And it would fuel itself up. The more things that would happen, It would kind of, like, get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
But then it would ebb away, do things like turn the TV on regularly, and then it wouldn't do it for a while.
Yeah,
ring the doorbell.
It did seem like the more we were talking about the book, like the more the
show more comes back,
and then like the more that it would do it, like I said, like you said, it would kind of like
it's like priming the pump. It's getting easier for it to happen, and then we just kind of lost interest in it, and it faded away.
But, you know, now that we've started doing the series again, talking about ghosts all the time, maybe it might, like, actually start up here. We haven't had anything happen here, have we?
Been on trend lately.
I'm surprised that, like, shit's not flying all over the place with all the crazy shit you're,
I don't
like,
get
taking.
Enough REM sleep anymore. I don't sleep very well, but Wednesday is my last little fucking dose, and then after that, I'll go back to normal.
Because your emotions are all over the map, so you think that like shit be like flying off the walls.
Yeah,
every day.
I'm not healthy. I'm not sleeping enough. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fucking juicing up, but I'm just saying that. Too tired.
Yeah.
Not getting enough REM sleep.
Yeah, I was tired last night. And you know what? Last night. I remember how I said it's like I really hope, because I was exhausted and I was like, hopefully I was like waiting. I said, well, I can't. I was ready to fall asleep at 8:30 for real. Yeah. But I was like, well, I can't fall asleep. I have to stay up until at least 10 o'clock because otherwise I'll be up at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I fell asleep. So finally it's like 10 o'clock and I'm like,
she skipped a bunch of shit right there. But okay.
Well, why? That didn't have anything to do with what I was saying.
Okay. All right.
But so I fell.
I was trying to get some.
So I fell asleep. Yeah. You did.
Yeah, I got it.
You did. But like I said, that didn't have anything to do with what I was talking about. Okay. But I don't know why you always have to like inject that in there. But I fell asleep at like 10. I was watching Cinemassacre Monster Madness from like a couple years back. Yeah. And then to keep myself awake. And then I fell asleep at 10. And then I woke up every hour and a half because I had to pee.
Yeah.
I woke up. I fell asleep at 10. I woke up at 11:30. I woke up at 1. I woke up at 2:30, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? It's not like I'm getting up, like, drinking a whole fucking... I don't know. I was like, why the fuck do I have to keep waking up? And then finally I woke up at, like, 6:30, and I'm just like, fuck it, and I just got up. Jesus Christ. I can't, like, fucking... Danny Rowling said, didn't Tom lose his keys at the new house, and then they appear mysteriously? Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
No, it gave them to Pookie.
That was at the old house,
though. No, it didn't. No, what was it gave to Pookie?
Your motorcycle key.
Yeah, it gave it
that
to Pookie.
Was at the old house.
It's at the old house, yeah.
It gave the key to Pookie.
Yeah.
You lost the motorcycle key. How long was it missing?
I didn't lose it. It took it. It just
Didn't
lose it. It should have been on the nightstand.
How long was it gone? It was a while.
A week.
It was a while, right? About yeah. It was a few days, at least.
I think it was the key that she
Because we looked
had.
Everywhere for that fucking thing.
Wasn't it the key that she had?
Yeah, it was the motorcycle key.
Yeah. I was playing with Pookie. And she was on her back. She's on my feet.
Yeah, because she's like,
on her back, and I'm fucking fighting like that. And then I just look up at the television and went back to go get her again, and she had the key in her and was biting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And I saw her out of the corner of my eye do that as if it fell.
Ghost key.
And she grabbed it and started chewing on it because it's rubber.
It has rubber on the
top.
And she likes to chew on it.
Yeah, so she's chewing on it. And I looked at it, she's chewing the key, and I'm like, Pookie. And she's like, yeah, I got it. I gave it to her. I didn't give it to her.
Yeah, we've been looking for that fucking thing everywhere.
Right
we couldn't
there.
Figure out where it went.
Yeah.
Because he always kept it on the nightstand. And the only time, I think you lost it one time before, but we found it in the pocket of your pants. Like, you just left it in one of your pants pockets.
Yeah.
So we looked through, like, we tore the whole closet up. Yeah. It's like, we looked through every single piece of your clothing. Like, we looked under the furniture. We looked everywhere, and we couldn't find it. And it was gone for, like, a week, and then all of a sudden it just appeared, like, in Pookie's paws.
The only thing that's happened here was I was upset looking for something. And I was looked across the top. I have a bookcase in there. And my eyes swept across the top of the bookcase. And as my eyes swept across the top of those objects, something jumped off the fucking top of the bookcase.
Yeah, that's right.
And it jumped up and fluttered down like a leaf. And it hit the ground. And I went, what was that? And I looked, and it was a heavy object. But it fluttered down like it was a leaf. It was a ring? No. Ring. Wasn't it that skull ring?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Skull ring my other wife gave me.
Your other wife?
Yeah, the bike I bought, she gave it. Yeah, I'm new handed.
Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
I think it was a skull ring, I think. But my eyes just, I saw it and looked away from it, and it jumped up and fluttered down. And it was like, what was that? Yeah, it was weird. But I don't get upset about it anymore. When it happens, I'm like, no, that didn't happen. You know what I mean? I go, oh, I guess it did. And I don't get.
It's weird because it's like, this house is not, I mean, this house is bigger than our other house and stuff. And I always have to get up in the middle of the night, like to go to the bathroom and stuff. I've never felt creeped out in this house ever.
No, this house isn't creepy at all.
It's not creepy at all.
We're the first owners. The original owner rented it out. That's all.
Yeah, like a lot of people have lived here.
They've lived here, but none of
they rented it out. Yeah, it's all recent.
It's all recent.
So it's like, and this house isn't that old. Mm. I think it's only 10 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's 10 years old.
Yeah, there's nothing bad's happened here.
Yeah, I mean, even if it, like I said, I've never ever felt anything like creepy in here. I didn't really even feel creepy in the old house, not usually. Mm. Even when all that weird shit was going on. A couple times I did. But it was fleeting. But well, it was fleeting, but it was always kind of like something was happening.
Yeah. She woke up scared somebody had rung the doorbell twice.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the house. That was because I thought, and at first I didn't think ghosts. I thought, is there like a fucking serial killer ringing the doorbell?
I grabbed one of the pistols.
That's what I thought.
I grabbed one of the pistols and went to go check. There was nobody there.
I mean, that's why I was scared. I thought it was a human.
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing good can come of somebody ringing the doorbell at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or 4. I think it was 4 something.
And then it turned the television on out in the living room pretty regularly.
But see, that didn't scare me. It was just kind of like I'd go out and go, well, there it is again.
And it turned
on again
once, the television in our room.
Yeah.
And it never turns on to the TV. It would always turn on to a screensaver.
Yeah, that was always kind of
It was
odd.
Always a screensaver.
Yeah, like a pretty picture of like trees and shit.
And
which is weird because that's not usually what happens when you turn the TV on.
It opened the garage door on its own.
Yeah, that's true. Couple times.
Yeah, it opened the back door. I woke up.
Okay, that was super weird.
And it was still locked. Had the deadbolt and everything.
Yeah, the deadbolt was sticking out, and it was wide open.
And wide open, wind blowing.
We never fucking opened that door.
Yeah,
we never
opened
that door.
And Bezos was sitting there looking at that open door and looking at me.
Was like,
she's like, what the hell is this all about? That's not supposed to be open. And I was under the impression that it had only been open for a few minutes.
I saw it when I got up to go to work.
Open?
It was open.
It was open.
That's why I came and woke you up.
Okay.
That's what happened. I got up to go to work.
All right, yeah.
And it was like, what time did I leave for work? It was usually like 7:30-ish. I think it was 7:30. Or 7:45 or something like that. Because I think I'd be at work at 8:30. And I walked out to go outside, like, to go to work, and I looked, and I was like, what the fuck? Why is that door open? And then, like, I saw the deadbolt sticking out, and then I came back, and I woke up. I'm like, look at the fuck, what the fuck?
Went out to the old patio. It was a double door. You could open it up, connect the living room to
the
patio.
It was, like, right across from the front door.
Yeah. And just one of the doors was open, and the deadbolt still engaged, which is impossible. You'd have to either unlock it, open it, and then lock it back, or it opened and that damn deadbolt fucking went through that door.
That was so weird.
I've seen interpenetration of matter because I'd be sitting there at Mammoth and something would fucking be thrown in front of me from a place where it was just a wall there, and then that object came from another room. So it did shit like that.
That weirded me out. Like, it didn't scare me. It just weirded me out. It weirded Beijing out, too, because she was just, like, sitting there staring at it.
Mm.
Like, because she knew that wasn't right, which I thought was, like, kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's not right.
Another one I saw, so I was playing a Mad Max video game, was getting all upset, and I saw what looked like wind go through my peripheral vision, and a shot glass, using a plastic shot glass, fall down and hit the bottom shelf. Bam, like that. And then I saw we had those big curtains that covered the back sliding glass door. I saw those billow out like there was a wind. It looked natural. There's no wind in there. All the fucking doors were shut. And I paused it and looked at that shot glass. It fell through all. I wasn't looking directly at it. I saw it out of the corner of my eye go down like a streak and hit the bottom and go and hit on its bottom and went and vibrated and stopped. And I looked at the angle. It either came out and went down and then went back in, or it fell through all those damn
shelves. Yeah.
Because it wasn't sitting on an edge or anything. It was inside the shelf by a good 6 inches. It just looked like a white streak out of the corner of my eye, like it shot down. and hit the bottom. And I was playing a video game, and I saw do it right out of the corner of my eye and looked. And as I looked at it, the shot glass was sitting on its base going. And I paused that shit and went, oh, no. And I was looking like that. And all that shit, it had blown. I didn't see anything disturbed. Nothing else had moved, but it was like a wind blew through it. It was weird.
That is pretty weird. Yeah. What you doing, Polk? Well, remember the sidetrack show that we did on Friday night? Remember how Pookie was acting at the end?
Yeah,
that's why I even said in the thing. I was like, be sure to like watch till the end because Pookie's like warning us there's a demon. She was like climbing up on here, like looking at the camera.
Looking
like,
at something up there.
She never, she just kept. And after the show was over, like after the stream was over, I was still in here for like another half hour or something. And she sat there in the middle of the floor just staring at the ceiling like the whole fucking time.
Like she wanted to go up there.
And I kept asking her, I'm like, what the fuck? What is it? Yeah. What is it? But she wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell me. She didn't know what it was.
If you read the book and you read certain things over the years of doing the show, to me this sounds like RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. It's the psychokinetic abilities of the subconscious mind, not the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, usually of a kid, but some adults can do it, but it's not as good. It's much better when you're a kid. And you can't control it. What's controlling it is the same thing that controls all the characters in your dreams. It's under the control of like a... Well, think about it. You're dreaming. There's characters in your dreams, and they do things unexpected. They'll actually fight you. Well, who's in control of them? Well, you. But it's a different part of you. One of the facets of your consciousness. And that's what does it.
That's actually like a good analogy. That's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah, and it takes on characters. You can't think it's you. If you think it's you, it'll stop. You have to see it as an outside force. And in a way, it is. Because the first time I stopped it, when I was, 14, I realized that it wasn't reading my mind, that it was a part of me that was doing it. So I tried to consciously make it do things, and it just fell apart. It stopped. As soon as you take responsibility for it, it's over.
Yeah.
At least when you're a kid.
John Gore's...
I know what it is. I can ramp it back up, but it takes weeks. How long do you think it took? Weeks?
I don't know.
Weeks of thinking about it? And you have to have fear. If you're not afraid of it, it doesn't seem to work as well. You have to have negative emotions behind it. Or you have to have a feeling of fear and dread, like it's a threat. That'll help it a lot.
Danny Rowling said, what did Hans Holzer say was happening in the house? We will get to that in a moment. John Gore said, do we ever do a review of Dreamscape? We haven't yet, but I've been wanting to do it for a while. I put it in the poll a couple times, but it never wins. We'll get around to it, I promise. I think tonight we're going to do the Night Flyer, though, because I did find somebody that posted it on YouTube, so hopefully they haven't taken it down yet. But we'll watch that again. We'll watch that again tonight and talk about that tomorrow. Okay, so where was I? So, okay, Nancy, you know, she has the baby. She realizes, the ghost followed me to the hospital or whatever. But then, like, she goes back home the next day and said that she was, like, pretty much a nervous wreck because she was waiting for something horrible to happen, knowing now that the ghost could follow her around. So not long after this, Ron and Nancy are both downstairs one day just doing regular people shit when Alan, the son, apparently gets pushed down the stairs. Now, he wasn't hurt badly. They said he just had some bruises and stuff. But he said that it felt like someone grabbed him from behind and, in his words, heaved him down the stairs. That's what he said. Also, Alan said that at night, he was pretty much, like, constantly scared. Like, especially if he had to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're a little kid and you're just don't want to have to get up and go down that dark, creepy hallway. One night, he's in the bathroom and he hears something. And he said the first thing he thought was that somebody was breaking in. So he, like, felt like he heard something that sounded like a person that was, like, breaking into the house. And he said he felt the hair on his arm standing up. Then, I'm not really sure if he actually saw this, because the show showed that he saw, like, a kind of, like, an apparition, although they didn't, I don't think they showed, like, the whole apparition. It was more like he saw, like, somebody's feet, like, on the rug, like, down the hall or something. I don't know if he really saw that or not, but he ran back to his room, and then he said that he heard footsteps in the hall, and then his bedroom, like, he jumps in the bed and, like, puts the, you know, covers over his head like you do, and then, but he, like, kind of peeked out, and he said the bedroom door, like, opened by itself, but there was nobody there. And it stayed like that for a while, and he said he was just, like, shitting bricks, you know what I mean? Which, you know, not surprising, you would. And then the door, like, closed by itself again, and then the footsteps went back out. Almost like, I got the impression, like, something invisible was, like, checking on him. Like, somebody would check on him, but there was, like, nobody there, you know what I mean?
And so, that kind of stuff happened worse. Okay, good.
So he's, like, really freaked out, so he tells his parents about all the stuff that's been going on. Ron said, because, like I said, he's, you know, on the show, too, like, talking, the real guy. And he basically said, I think this was exactly what he said. He said, how can you fight something that's not alive? You can't really grab it, but it can push you.
Yeah. So, yeah. We were afraid of that.
That's a sentiment that a lot of guys on this show, like, put. It's like I said, you can't punch it. You can't do anything. Yeah. They don't know what to do about it, so they feel, like, super helpless.
Yeah, man, me and Red were fucking scared. It's like, how do you fight this? How do you defend yourself from it?
Right, because it could do anything, especially if he could, like, throw you down the stairs. Yeah. Yeah, you'd be in trouble. And this one does, like, worse shit, too, like, later on.
We never really thought it would physically touch us. It touched Lois. She just said it was a weird snake-like feeling. It came up out of the floor, wrapped around her leg or waist, and then around her arm, and she said she felt it kind of flow off of her like a liquid snake of cold, is what she said it felt like. But we weren't really afraid that it would touch us. Me and Red, we were afraid it would do things insidious, like put things up in the top of door jams so when you open it would fall on you.
That seems more like
armed. Or try to, like, release gas into the house.
Well, that's
happening. Or try to cross the wires so when you turn the light on it would shock you, or, you know, make a fire, stuff like that. We were worried more about that. It turning on burners and throwing something on top of the burner. Because it definitely had the power to do that. It turned the burner on, and it could move things.
See, yeah, I'd be more worried about that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, overt kind of stuff.
Right.
Because, yeah, in the middle of the night, it's like, hey, I'm going to, like, turn on the oven, or I'm going to do some, like, shit like that, and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and put a pillow in the oven.
Right.
Because it's moving pillows and shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Burn a damn house down. That kind of shit.
Yeah,
although that may not burn a house down inside the oven. Probably wouldn't. Just make a lot of smoke.
Yeah, it would probably just smoke the place out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what would happen if you put a pillow
in there? It would burn in there and put a bunch of smoke and come out.
I guess so. But yeah, so at this point, so Ron and Nancy are getting, like, really frustrated, and they're like, okay, well, we really got to sell this place. But in the meantime, they want some help. So, like I said, this is the 1960s, 1967, 1968, something like that. So you can't just, like, go on the internet and find some fucking ghost hunters to come and, like, sage your shit or whatever. So Ron said that he made the mistake of telling a guy that he worked with about the haunting. And that guy, like his coworker, said, oh, I know this guy who works for the newspaper, and he probably knows like a paranormal expert or something like that. Maybe he can help you out. So he sets Ron up with this guy. Now, Ron, I kind of feel like I didn't know exactly, like, because it seemed like they, like, Ron and Nancy were being interviewed by the newspaper guy, even though they very clearly said, please don't use our real names and don't use the real address and blah de blah. And the newspaper guy apparently said that he would help them find an expert. So I didn't know if they were, like, okay with them printing a story about them as long as they didn't use their real names, or if they just thought this guy was going to help them find an expert. It wasn't really clear about that. But in any case, the newspaper guy did an article about them and absolutely used their real names and their real address in the paper. So basically, now they're worried that no one's going to buy the house from them now. Their neighbors all got pissed off at them because, you know, the property values are going to plummet or whatever. And then Alan said that the neighbors, like, started harassing them and, like, making fun of them and stuff like that. And then anybody that was, like, interested in buying the house, like, they stopped getting any calls about potential buyers and shit like that. So it was kind of a shit show. So one night, Nancy has a dream that she's, I don't know if this was exactly what she dreamed, this was that they showed on the show, that she sees, like, a blue light and smoke that, like, coming under the bedroom door, and she thinks the house is on fire. So in the dream, she starts, like, herding the kids down the hall, like, through the flames, but then, like, scary old bonnet lady is just in the flames, like, laughing evilly at them. Nancy said that she had the same dream, like, several nights in a row. And she said it wasn't like an ordinary dream, more like an experience. That's what she called it.
Yeah, that tells me that what she's talking about is lucid dreaming, which is all she's already talking about in altered states of consciousness. So, yeah, it's all part of that same phenomenon. I'm saying this is RSPK. classic Poltergeist. That's what I think it is.
But Nancy said she, yeah, so she said after the third time that she had this dream, she starts telling Ron that she smells gas in the house. Now, Ron doesn't smell anything and thinks everything looks okay. Like, he kind of does a little perfunctory, like, look around, but he doesn't really see anything wrong. But Nancy is kind of, like, convinced, I think something's wrong. So she calls the gas company, and they said, open all your windows. We'll send somebody out, like, right away. A guy shows up and goes down to the basement, and he finds a pipe that has a really loose fitting or, like, a loose connection on it that's apparently been leaking so much gas into the house that the whole place is essentially a bomb. So, did the ghost do that or what? Who knows? But, I don't, and like I said, I don't know if that's true or not, but she said, yeah, the it was leaking gas into the house and it could have blown up at any time.
I don't think the gas man did that, the one that installed it. They would have checked all that.
Yeah, you would think.
And you would have detected it a long time ago, probably. Although, I wasn't there. I don't know how long that had been installed or not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They just, right. You know, they there's leave not out enough, there's not enough they details. Leave out details that, like, you know.
A poltergeist could definitely spin a pipe and loosen it. No problem.
Yeah, and, like, start leaking gas. Yeah. Well, and like you said, that's kind of, like, the kind of shit that they would do. Yeah. Because they would pull some shit like that, yeah. Right?
If it was especially destructive. Although this one doesn't seem to be especially destructive.
Other than maybe blowing up the house, but...
Yeah, but...
But then she had dreams about it.
Yeah.
But see, they kind of, like, talk about that later on, like, why that might have been.
Yeah.
Like, why she was having dreams about it.
Yeah, but they can get a lot more destructive. Tearing up people's clothing.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Fucking trying to set fires.
That also happens a lot.
Where you have pyrokinesis happening. Some of them are a lot more destructive than this. That usually involves a kid... That's in so much distress that they're trying to damn call the authorities using damn psychic abilities. They're trying to call the authorities by burning the damn house down. That's really what that means at a subconscious level. You know, get me out of here. They're willing to fucking damn burn the house down. That's how much they want out.
I kind of feel like in those situations, it's probably a kind of thing where the kid is, like, really troubled or there's, like, abuse in the house or something like that because they're trying to, like, and maybe they're scared to, like, alert the authorities, like, in a direct way because they're afraid they'll get in trouble.
Yeah, so they use an outside psychic force, an alter ego, to do it for them. Something that I didn't do it, the ghost did it. The ghost called the fire department and they called the cops. You know, right. I didn't do it. But, yeah, I always, whenever I hear those cases like that, real extreme ones, you covered them in Unseen Hand, the book that she wrote. It's always going to be some kind of abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's a good way of, you know, kind of putting things
yourself
at one remove.
You don't want to get in trouble for ratting.
Right.
Because this kid's been fucking punished so much that, you know what I mean, and he can't take blame. Something else has to take the blame for him.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But he needs help, and that's, like, the only way that, like, that it could happen.
Yeah. And usually, anything involving pyrokinesis, fire, that's abuse.
Yeah, like I said, there usually has to be some pretty extreme situations. It's really weird, because of all the cases that I wrote about that involved pyrokinesis, 95% of them were girls.
Yeah.
Like, I did read one where it was a boy, where the boy was the focus, but almost all, if it's fire, it's almost always a girl.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And you would think, well, man, that's got to be harder than moving an object. No, easier. All you're doing is using whatever it is, some kind of an altered state of consciousness. Some people call it maybe psychokinesis, or moving things with the mind. All you do is accelerating the motion of the molecules. And you accelerate those molecules until it gets hot enough to fucking catch on fire. Same thing you can do with friction. It's just that they're doing it directly with the mind, accelerating.
Yeah, it's like you're
molecules.
Psychically rubbing your hands
together.
Yeah,
basically. And you're moving very, very small objects, molecules. So,
Ben
it would
said,
be easy.
Ben said the ghost called CPS. I mean, essentially. Mm-hmm. Essentially. I could totally see how that would happen.
Usually the mild shit is family turmoil to bring a family that's mostly, and I think it was in my case too, a family that was splitting apart. You're making an outside force that's a threat to bring everybody back together, to hold the family together. Because divorces and shit were happening.
Zach said, wasn't there a case where flames were coming out of the outlets in a family's house? Yeah, I wrote about that case. I can't remember what their names were. But yeah, I read about a case like that where they had like a bunch of like flame coming out of the outlets. But it was weird because it didn't like burn anything. Like, it, I don't know. It was just like really weird. But yeah, that was, I read about that in my book too, but I can't remember the name of the family. So, yeah, so at this point, like, she's like, okay, the house could have blown up at any moment, so that's a little scary. So she starts doing research. Like I said, 60s, it's not like you can just go to the internet, so you had to go to the library and shit, like, old school. So she gets into some books by, like I said, the very, quite famous, like, Austrian parapsychologist Hans Holzer. I read some of his books when I was a teenager as well. Now, Nancy writes to him, again, old school, but it takes, like, a few months before she hears anything back, so there's that. So Nancy keeps having nightmares. She's trying to convince herself that scary old bonnet lady was just actually trying to be helpful by, hey, warning her about the whole fire thing. It's like, hey, maybe you want to check the gas, because it did like end up helping her because she had these nightmares and she's like, oh shit, maybe I should check that out. And then they're like, hey, your house is going to explode. So she's like, well, maybe the old lady is just trying to like help me out. But then she was kind of like, but I was pretty sure that no, that I was pretty sure that this old woman was like malevolent, because it's like every energy that she was getting off this ghost was like malevolent. So I guess it was just like incidental that she had the dreams about it. Like I said, they get into a reason why later on. So Hans Holzer shows up one day with a trance medium later on. Like after, like I said, he got the letter and he shows up, and it's been a couple months. Now, Holzer himself does appear on the episode. I think, like I said, this was a couple years before he died, maybe. I think he died in 2009, if I'm remembering correctly. He basically says that you need a trance medium to make things happen. He's like, otherwise, you're just going to be in there with your Geiger counters and whatnot, and like nothing's going to happen. So you need like that human element. So apparently this trance medium that he brought, they didn't give her a name or anything, but they said that they had worked together like for many years, so I guess like he trusted her or whatever. So the medium starts contacting the ghosts, hope being that they'll be able to force them out the house. Now, the medium says that there are several entities in there, and Alan said that they apparently like talked through her. They didn't really show that too much on the show, but that's what he said. She also, like, she's going up the stairs and, like, stops at the same place that Cousin Bill stopped and got weirded out and, like, ran off or whatever. And she said that, well, she didn't say this, but on the show they said she felt a mysterious confluence of energy, so take that, whatever. And, she gets led up the stairs like she's, like, she knows where she's going. And she goes into, like, Alan and his brother's room. Now, while she's in there, apparently she's kind of standing there, like, all in a trance or whatever, and then she comes out the trance, and she's like, I have a name, and the name is Louis, or Louis Fontenil. Ron and Nancy said they've never heard this name before. The medium then says this guy, this ghost, told her that he was waiting for supplies to come in on the Constellation, which I'm assuming is a ship, into the Baltimore Harbor, and that he and his men were there to protect the city. So Hans Holzer suspects that this ghost was a Civil War era soldier, even though, as I mentioned earlier, the house has only been on the site since the 1920s. Holzer says, oh, well, the ghosts are tied to the site, not so much the house. And one thing that he pointed out that I thought was kind of interesting, he said, oh, well, the ghosts, they'll, if they're kind of like trapped between, you know, worlds or whatever, he said they're going to see things not as they are currently, like not like the current house, but they're going to see things the way they were when they were alive, you know what I mean? So they're still seeing whatever house was there before, like when they were around. Now, so the medium says, yeah, Lewis is trapped between life and death and actually wanders the house at night keeping watch. So it's almost kind of like he's, they meant to imply, I guess, that this ghost in particular was like benevolent and he was just like watching out for everybody. So I'm assuming that he's the one that was walking up and down the halls, like opening the kids' doors and like checking on them and shit like that, which creepy, but you know what I mean? I guess he can't help it. He can't help being creepy. He's like, I'm just checking on you. I'm invisible. I can't do anything about that. So so the medium then detects another presence in Ron and Nancy's room, I think it was. And this is apparently old bonnet lady. Old bonnet bitch, as we call her. And the medium said, yeah, this woman's really, really angry. She's like, I got a last name, and that's Kittinger. The medium asks this old bat, like, what her fucking deal is. Like, why is she such an asshole? And the ghost apparently says that the people in the house are her servants and that they're being insolent because they're not doing what she told them to do, so she's mad at them. So evidently, this woman doesn't know she's dead and is still, like, bossing people around like she did when she was alive. So she sounds like a real fucking twat. this ghost. So later that night, Hans Holzer tells Nancy, the mom, that she's probably, like, a low-key psychic herself and, like, she didn't know it. So the ghosts have been kind of, like, communicating with her through her dreams. Like, she's getting all this stuff, like, through her dreams and everything like that without her really being, like, aware of it or conscious of it. And she's like, probably because you have this kind of low-key psychic ability that maybe these ghosts are also getting, like, the energy from you, like, to stay here. So at this point, too, like, Nancy starts to believe that Lewis, the Civil War era ghost, is protecting her family from the ghost of the bitchy old bat. So there's that. So Hans and the medium start talking to the ghost to try to get them to cross over, but they're not super sure if it worked, because like I said, you know, it's very subjective, all this stuff. But the house is quiet for a few days, so they're like, okay, well, maybe that was successful. Now, Cousin Bill, the lawyer, comes back to visit, the one that, you know, ran out the house before. And he decides that he's going to do some research at the Hall of Records in Annapolis, in Maryland, to check up on what the medium told them to see if they were just full of crap or not. So apparently, lots of the stuff checks out. There was a Lieutenant Fontenelle in the Union Army who was apparently, like, around this area, and he was evidently killed in an inn that once stood on or around where the Stallings house is now. Bill also finds some records from 1787 that have the name Eileen Kittinger, which, like I said, is presumably the name of the old bat. There was a house on the land prior that was built in the 1700s, so maybe that was her house, or maybe it was from before, I'm not really sure. Bill finds out something else, too, evidently, that every family who lived on this land had at least one person in the family die while they lived there. Even the medium didn't tell them that. So, but he went back through tax records and all this stuff and thought it was weird, like he saw a pattern or whatever. So the Stallings family is horrified by this information, as you probably would be, and says, well, we have to get the fuck out of here, like, as soon as possible before one of us drops dead, because that'd be scary. So finally, a couple wants to buy the house, and apparently they're really jazzed about the haunting, because they're like, yeah, this shit's haunted, because they're like, what's with the crucifix? They're like, yeah, ghosts, and they're like, awesome! So, you know, they're like, okay, well, you're the buyers for us, because they were really into it. So Alan says, yeah, we couldn't wait to get the fuck out of this house and just kind of praying that nothing bad would happen before they could leave. So one night, not too long before moving out, Nancy is in the boys' room, like, putting the kids to bed, and she said that Lewis, the Civil War ghost, kind of contacted her, I'm guessing he, like, you know, psychically or whatever, and said, well, after you guys leave the house, you should never come back in, because when y'all leave, I'm leaving too. And I'm not going to be able to protect you from the old bat, because apparently she's still here. Because she's just like, fuck you, I'm not leaving. Damn. Goodness gracious.
Sneezing with a mustache, boy's turn. Difficulty went up.
your life difficulty.
You can't even fucking drink, man. Every time you drink, it starts absorbing the shit. You got to tilt your head back.
I can't imagine, like, how, like, dudes with these big voluminous beards, like,
yeah, they must, I don't know how they do this.
It must just constantly have, like, food in it all the time. It sounds like, I was like,
you gotta
that.
Be careful to keep your fucking.
I kind of have to do that. Well, obviously, I don't have a beard, but it's like, you know, I have hair going in my mouth all the time.
Can't even go down on a motherfucker in peace.
On a motherfucker. What motherfucker would that be?
It might be you, I guess. I don't
it might be.
Yeah, you know, fucking, we tried it. Let's
see. It might
be. Had to get a damn bib.
You gotta get a bib.
So you're man, so I'm being fucking gross.
You are being gross. Yeah. You are very gross.
I gotta class it up in this motherfucker. I'm gonna class it up.
Baby. Too late now.
Yeah.
You gonna class it up?
I'm classing it up.
I don't believe that. But,
she's constantly fucking.
I'll believe that when I see
okay.
it. So, on the very last day, they get ready to move. They're leaving, but then, of course, Nancy forgets something in the house. Very Amityville Horror, this part. I'm just like, everybody's, have you not seen any horror movies ever? You don't go back in the house. Just leave. You don't need it. You buy another one. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. They didn't even say what it is. So she's like, no, I forgot it. It's in the bedroom. I'll be right back. And I'm just like, yeah, they say that in all the horror movies, too, and that's when you get murdered. So she runs back in there to get the whatever the fuck it is. And now the show made it look like all hell broke loose when she went back inside. There was chairs sliding around by themselves, like all the faucets coming on, footsteps, electricity buzzing, lights flashing on and off, windows slamming up and down, doors opening and slamming closed, all that kind of, like, there was a whole fucking ball of wax was going on in there. It was like a fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse all up in the shit. But I will note that she didn't say that she actually saw any of that. So that might have just been like a dramatic.
I think they were taking
some artistic liberties with that, because she did absolutely not say, because if that shit happened, like if you're like, yeah, I forgot my cell phone charger or whatever, like back in the house and I had to go back in and get it, which like I said, no, you don't. Let's just buy another one at Walgreens. Yeah. But if you went back in and like all the shit was going on in there, like, you know, fucking chairs and windows slamming and shit like that. I think you'd mention it.
Yeah, I think what happened is just that she said they had to go back in that house. It was scary as shit.
Yeah.
Like it was being watched. That's probably all it was.
I guess they wanted like a big finish. Yeah. That's what I said. They wanted a big finish.
They're being cinematic.
Yeah, so she goes inside and it's like, pom, pom, pom. And she's like, fuck this place. Ah. The only time that she leaves. Basically all she said, she's like, man, I was so happy when I left the house. We lived through this terrible experience. Maybe we can have a normal life now. And that was like pretty much the end. Now, they didn't mention, like I said, what happened to the people that moved in after. As far as I know, I couldn't really find any information on anybody that moved in there and said anything bad happened to them. So some stuff that I found out, like, extraneously. There's not a lot about this case in particular. I did find an article from the Washington Post, which was dated October 28th, 1989, that mentions Ron Stallings, the dad, as someone who investigates haunted houses around Maryland as a hobby. Now, the article isn't about him specifically. It's actually kind of a more general article about, like, the pros and cons of a house having a reputation of being haunted, like, how it affects the purchase price or the rental price, like, to some people, you know what I mean? Like, because they had, like, a bunch of real estate agents, like, talking about, oh, is it easier or harder to, like, sell a house that's supposedly haunted? So the article was about that, so they just kind of, like, mentioned him glancingly, but there was, like, a bunch of other stuff in there, too. There's also an old article from Bay Weekly Online from 2000 about legends in the Baltimore area, like ghost stories in the Baltimore area. And it mentions Ron and Nancy Stallings as experts in the paranormal. So there's that. I found that mention as well.
Damn.
I also found a book which was written by Nancy Stallings, the mom, and it was published in 1996. And the book is called Show Me One Soul, and it's about this haunting. This is what the synopsis says. When Nancy Stallings and her family found the large handyman special, like I said, so it was probably like a dump, home on Evergreen Avenue, so I'm guessing it's really on Evergreen Avenue in Baltimore. They didn't give the number, but I found the house that I think it might be, but I'm not entirely sure. So when they found it, it seemed perfect for them. They never suspected that the odd occurrences that took place in the house could be associated with the haunting. It wasn't until her husband, Ron, dared God to show him just one soul that could return from the dead that the haunting began in full force. They didn't put that on the show, did they?
No.
But that's what she said in the book.
Okay.
The haunting affected every member of the Stallings family, as well as their friends and neighbors. Another thing they didn't really bring up in the show. They coped for 10 years, which that's another thing they didn't really get into. It made it seem like they didn't live there that long.
10 years, yeah.
They said that they bought it in 1965, and then they were like, okay, well, she had a kid in 1967, and then it seemed like not too long after that, they were like, yeah, we need to get the fuck out of here, we gotta sell it. So it made it seem like the timeline was very truncated, but apparently they lived there for 10 years.
Now, hold on one second.
What's that?
The return, the tempting God thing, to show me just one spirit. That's not all that unusual. Yeah, see, just like I said.
you're tempting my phone.
That still can kind of fit in with poltergeist. If you have turmoil in the house and there's a kid who's got the shine to him, who's already fucking scared or pissed off, and he hears his dad or his stepdad. Was it stepdad or was it his dad?
That was his stepdad.
It was his stepdad, yeah. Yeah. Here's him saying that might freak him out enough to worry that God would fucking make a spirit come, which that would help it. The fear would help it. And then he would manifest it, RSPK in that. So that's not that unusual when you think about it. That's actually an important detail. That would have freaked that kid out.
I just think it's weird that they didn't mention that on the show, though, because that seemed like a pretty dramatic...
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pretty dramatic, right?
Yeah.
Like, to put... And I'm just thinking of it from, like, a writing from, like, an entertainment show standpoint.
Kid's in a house he thinks is kind of spooky or haunted, and he hears an adult, his stepdad, fucking challenge God to show us a ghost. And he's like, fuck, man, he's bringing the ghost. And just having that fear might be enough to fucking manifest it. Yeah. Something could be there. Okay, go ahead.
Danny Rowling said, some men's beards could be used as pap smears with all the years of accumulated coochie juices collected.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Okay. Zach also said, excuse me, can I borrow your whatever the fuck it is? Well, they didn't show what it was. It looked like a folder or something. I don't know what the hell it is. I'm sure it wasn't important. And then Zach said, there actually was an episode where someone went back to get a phone charger after they fled and the ghost threw down. And my reaction was, can you not get a new one from the gas station for $1.99? Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, you don't need it. You don't need it. Yeah, Zach said, what was that? Did Tom turn on one of the sex toys telepathically again?
That's if you one of them kinky motherfuckers that uses the phone as a fucking sex toy. I heard of that.
I don't really see how.
Put it on mute. Put it on vibrate.
It's not shaped the right way, though. I mean, unless you're into that. I'm not judging. But yeah, so where was I? Okay, so I was reading the synopsis. We got distracted by the sex toy phone. One soul they could return from the dead. That's why the book is called that. So they coped for 10 years with many ghosts that lingered on the property, some benevolent, many malevolent. Which, like I said, this show just basically showed two ghosts, one of which was nice and one was naughty. Show Me One Soul includes actual psychic photographs taken in the haunted house, as well as the transcripts of the verification of the haunting by Professor Hans Holzer of the New York Institute of Technology and the New York Committee for the Investigation of Paranormal Occurrences. Show Me One Soul is a vivid addition to the glowing literature of the paranormal. So, like I said, this book is only available as a $45 used hardcover, though, so I assume that it's out of print. I read the reviews, of which there were like 5 or 6. Some of the reviews also talked about the book being unorganized, with a confusing narrative timeline, and rife with grammatical errors, which... Yep. Yeah, that's always something that's going to get us. It's the fucking ghost did that, man. I only actually found 2 shitty images of the photos that were in the book, I think, unfortunately. So if you want to see them, here they are. They're really not that impressive. But this is one of them, which is apparently them and that light right there, like, I guess, is something or other. And then this other one is this. And that's supposedly the soldier, like what the arrow is pointing at, that's supposedly the soldier ghost. Because apparently that guy wasn't there. See, it's like an arm and like a waistcoat thingy. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But those are the only 2 that I could find. And they're kind of shitty. They were like super low.
That was back when you had Instamatic cameras and shit.
Well, yeah, like I said, this is back in the 60s, I think. The 60s or the early 70s. So it's like, you know, taking pictures with potatoes back then. Yeah. So those were the only 2 that I found. And weird, it was weird because I found these photos just on this random ass, like, old website.
Yeah.
And some of the photos were, like, from other shit, like, from other cases. Mm-hmm. There was only, like, 7 photos on there, and those were the only 2 from this particular case that had their names in it, so I don't know what the deal with that was. But so it had their names on it, so I'm assuming that's from their case. And I'm assuming that's from their book. I couldn't look in the book. Because
this
it's
whole
out of print.
Good ghost, bad ghost thing stinks to high heaven to me. One ghost would be rare enough if you had 2 of them in one spot. Unless you're going to go with the portal fucking argument. No. More likely, it's RSPK. It's poltergeist. Coming out of some kind of poltergeist focus, one of those kids, and it'll make any character you want to fucking spin any kind of narrative. It needed a good ghost and a bad ghost, and that's what they got. That's what I think it is.
It's like good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop.
But dead.
Yep. And the whole Hans guy, maybe he fell for it. He didn't approach it as poltergeist. He approached it as a haunting, evidently. I'd have fucking called bullshit on the haunting. I'd have gone right for the fucking RSPK.
Sir and ma'am, I am calling bullshit on your haunting.
Calling bullshit on the ghost, man. Yeah, I don't believe that this is the undead or anything. But I think what they did... Maybe. They got no proof of this. They found the address of where they were going first, and they researched it.
See, that's why I never...
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it was harder to do back then. I'll give people that. Like, you had to be... If you were going to be, like, a medium or something, like, you had to be, like, on your shit, man. You had to, like, go to the fucking library, and it's like, wait, what's the address we're going? Let's pull all the tax records and all... Like, nowadays, it'd be super easy. You could just look up everything you need to know online, and you could come up with all kind of crazy shit about it. It's like, oh, my God, this house, like, sold for this much. You just go to Zillow, and there's, like, all kind of information about the history.
I got a feeling that... They didn't think there was going to be anything there. So they pre-researched that location and found this thing about all this Civil War stuff. And they said, well, okay, if there's nothing there, we'll just tell this fucking Civil War fucking angle here, this narrative, and we'll write a book about it. But maybe there was something there. Maybe there, you know, it sounds like Poltergeist to me. But that they had already decided to go with another narrative by the time they got there.
It could be.
Maybe by the time... They tell that story, and then it takes them fucking a few days for them to actually see phenomenon. They're like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. There's really shit going on here. Well, we're going to stick with our fucking Civil War ghost story.
That's our story. We're sticking
to it. Yeah, might have been something like that.
Danny Rowling said, are the mother and father still alive? I don't know. I mean, how old did they look in this episode? Because this was a season one, which was what, 2006, 2007, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's possible they could still be alive.
Yeah,
but
almost
they,
20 years, though.
They looked
oldish.
They looked oldish.
70s. They were in their 70s, I think.
Probably.
Which would mean that they're almost in their 90s now, so probably not.
So I'd imagine probably not.
Statistically, no.
Zach says, man, you guys are really cheering me up when I'm both broke and have a cold. Aw, that's good. He put a little heart on there. That's good.
You're welcome.
So the only other thing that I found about this, and I thought this was kind of interesting. This was just random while I was, like, doing a Google search. In a 2019 blog post by a guy named Sean Paul Murphy, he was talking about his own experiences growing up in a haunted house on a different street, on St. Helens Avenue in Baltimore. And he actually mentioned the Stallings haunting. He said, I remember playing with kids who lived two doors down from my grandmother on Evergreen Avenue, which is where the Stallings house was. Who said their house was haunted. The haunting at the Stallings house became quite famous. It was investigated by the author Hans Holzer and later even dramatized on television. My mother, who believed in ghosts, seemed very skeptical of that haunting. I remember her rolling her eyes once as she said, the ghost does their laundry. Okay. The ghost did more than that. According to Nancy Stallings' book, Show Me One Soul, which I mentioned before, one of the ghosts behaved like the star of a movie on Cinemax After Dark.
What is that?
I was like, what, like Dirty? Like Red Shoe Diaries?
Must be what they're talking
like
about.
Like smut? Yeah. Ghost smut?
That wasn't mentioned.
Again. Why did they not put, was there a ghost rape going on in here? Was there butt horking involved? Because that would have made like it made it
ghost
even better.
Ghost striptease.
Maybe old bonnet lady was like a freak.
Yeah. Trying to get it on,
and she was like humping the dad or something,
jumping on that young dick.
And they didn't want to put that on the show because they thought it was embarrassing. Yeah. That would have been really funny. But the guy that wrote the thing, he's talking about his mom. And then, but he said, but I didn't give the haunting a second thought. I don't even remember being too curious about it. Made no impression on me at the time. My mother, however, believed in another haunting on Evergreen Avenue, which is the same street. She said a house belonging to the mother of one of her friends near the corner of Evergreen and Hamlet was haunted by the angry spirit of a man who once lived there, but later committed suicide in an apartment on Hamilton Avenue. So I thought that was kind of interesting that somebody that grew up there, like, didn't believe in that haunting, but believed in another one that happened on the same street, evidently. Danny Rowling said, Bonnet's gone wild.
Yeah.
Now I'm, like, picturing that, like, that
they got
scary
that shit out there if you look for it. You don't want to see it.
Well, like I said, I'm not judging. Like, everybody has their own thing, okay?
Man.
Everybody has their own thing.
They got shit where fucking...
There's porn of everything. There's porn of everything. Literally every single thing you can think of has porn of it.
They got shit where they take their fucking false teeth out and everything. Boy, dude, it's fucking... Man, don't watch that. They'll have it labeled like that. Russians will make anything, man. That Russian shit.
Is there like a special word for that? Because I feel like they have...
Fanny porn.
Well, no, I know that, but I mean, no, I meant, is there, like, a word for, like,
taking your teeth out?
Like, taking your teeth, like gumming, like a blowjob involving gumming.
Probably.
I mean, because I kind of feel like there's so much, like, jargon involved with porn. Like, they always have, like, a cool, like, cream pie, and they have all the names for everything. Yeah. So it was like, do they have, like, a cute name for that? I mean, I imagine they do.
The name would not be cute. It would not be cute.
But now I'm curious.
Probably.
Danny Rowling said gum job.
Gum job.
Yeah. If that's not it, it should be. Because that's pretty good, actually. That's right. That's pretty good. Zach says, Laura Ingalls Wilder OnlyFans. Only six study. Oh, my God.
What's it called?
Her and Nellie Olson, like, getting it on, man. It's going to be like... Don't even, like, search for that. I'm sure somebody will. Laura Ingalls Wilder and Nellie Olson, like, lesbian porn. I'm sure somebody's made that.
This would be
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
Little House on the Prairie.
They're not old women, though.
No. Okay. Well, they were young in the... Laura Ingalls Wilder was a real person. Oh, okay. But, like, she wrote books about, like, growing up, like, on the frontier or whatever. Yeah. And then they, like, made a TV show about it in the 70s.
Yeah, I didn't have the context.
So that's what I'm saying. I used to watch it when I was a kid. I read all the books, too. Somebody gave them to me when I was little. But, yeah, so now I'm kind of, like, interested, and I kind of wish I could have found more stuff about, because this whole mention of Cinemax After Dark, I'm like, what the fuck was going on with that one ghost in the house? That it's like, was it the old lady? It might not have been the old lady.
Fucking talk about old lady.
But it's funny to think that it was the old lady.
There's only one old granny that's sexy, and that's fucking Sally D'Angelo. You can look at Sally D'Angelo. And Sally D'Angelo looks like a wicked old witch with huge fucking implants and big old long fucking nails. And she knows she looks like a wicked witch. They get her to act like that. She acts bad. She's funny, too. But that's novelty shit, if you ask me. Novelty porn.
Well, you know.
Yeah. You'd love Sally D'Angelo. She looks like a witch. You like anything that looks like a witch.
I do like witchy stuff.
Yeah, she looks like a witch. Yeah.
Dak says, oh no, is Sally related to Joseph? Yeah, the serial killer, Joseph D'Angelo. I mean, that's a pretty common last name, I would imagine. All right, so are we wrapping it up? Mm-hmm. You sound like you're kind of ready to wrap it up.
Yeah.
You with your...
Getting tired.
You with your snot.
Snot, not snot.
Or whatever it is.
My palate's starting to get real sore. Like, I think I got a cold coming.
You're diseased.
Got it from you.
No, you didn't. I'm not sick.
I had to get it from you. You're just immune to it.
Dude.
You carry so many diseases, you're immune to that shit.
You went to... How is that?
I don't know.
You were at the biker bar.
Yeah.
Full of, like, all kind of scumbags.
Yeah.
You could have got it from anybody.
I didn't touch anybody.
That doesn't matter.
Unless it was
airborne. They could have touched, like, some shit, like, the bar, and then you touched it.
Maybe.
You could have got it from the dude that called you kitty milk.
Oh, yeah. Big John. Yeah. Yeah. What you got there? What is that? That's not a beard. That's little kitties drinking out of the book. Let me go get some kitty milk. You drink it out of the saucer like little kitty milk. That's not a beard.
Maybe you got it from him.
I just started laughing. He started laughing.
Maybe you got it from him.
And he didn't say milk. He said milk. Milk.
Well, yeah, I got it.
Hey, kitty milk.
Yeah, I got it.
Gotta pronounce it like a bike, like a southern bike. You got all that kitty milk. Gotta say it like that. Look at the little face like a little kitty milk. Get your little saucer. You can lick it up like that. The milk.
You should have made him get you a saucer. And poured some beer in it.
I just fucking butt him. Man, get the hat. Man, get out of here. Get out of here. Fucking walk away. He's laughing.
But I was just saying because it's like immediate, like you get sick and you immediately blame me.
Yeah.
Even though you were just at the biker bar like a day or two ago.
It's part of the show.
He's just mad. You're just mad because I have a better immune system than you.
No, not true.
Because I get like some of the stuff and I get like, I feel kind of sniffly for like six hours and I'm like, I'm fine. I've been like that my whole life though. I have a good immune system. Blockfrog said Tom needs to do voices in a cartoon.
Yeah.
You'd probably be like a good voice.
All kinds of voices.
You could do like a good voice. You'd be a good voice actor.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do that. It's like it'd be your second career.
Milk. Do Wild West voices and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said, knock on wood, Jenny, you'll jinx yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've said that enough times that I kind of thought that too, but it's like it hasn't happened so far. So I'm all right. I think I'm all right.
I'm just sitting here waiting for my last round of ammunition. Pass it out, boys. We're going to fight tonight.
What does that have
to do? Get ready for them.
What does that have to do?
We're going to fight the Comanche.
Oh, okay.
It's Wild West voices.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wild West voices.
Yeah.
I forgot.
It's like some shit from Josie Wales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach said, I probably caught all kind of cooties from the gay bar the other day.
Oh, yeah. That's where cooties come from. That's a cootie generation facility.
Cootie patient zero.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like the biker bar, that's probably like pretty high up in the hierarchy too.
Cootie
manufacturer.
Cootie manufacturing facility. Stand back, hold on.
Then Danny Rowling said, bonnets and busts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a great, like, granny porn series. Bonnies and Busts 2.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Oh, fucking Zach wants me to do L. Ron Hubbard.
Do the L. Ron voice. You gotta do the lips.
Well, too. You see, you have to understand. Paranormal stuff goes way back millions of years. Back on Zeta Reticulon 5. There was a big intergalactic war between Zeta Reticulon and another people called some the Coochies.
It's true.
The Coochies were a whole clan of people that...
what did they do?
They used to learn the powers of the mind. Later on, George Lucas stole that, called them Jedi. But I'm the original source for all this. They channel me all the time. You know? He read my books. Read Battlefield Earth. It'll explain all about it. Yeah, so that's L. Ron Hubbard.
I kind of feel like I was going to say...
Your lips have to come way out.
Yeah.
When you're just, yeah.
You don't have big enough lips, really, but... Because you kind of...
You have a little sloping
nose. Really need, like, like big liver lips.
Yeah.
Like, to do, like, big grouper lips.
Yeah.
To really get the full effect. Maybe I could get you, like, some wax lips. That might help.
Yeah.
Some wax lips.
Okay, that's it. No, I'm done.
Okay, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so like I said, a couple of you guys recommended that we do the Stephen King movie, The Night Flyer. So I found it on YouTube. So we'll watch that tonight, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. What's the matter?
Oh, man, I got to watch a movie. Okay. Shit, I'm sleepy. Okay, go ahead.
It's all right. I'll watch it.
All right, and now I'm just fucking sleepy. Shit, I'll probably fall asleep during that.
I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
If it's another bad Stephen King
movie. A lot of people seem to like this one, actually. Yeah. A lot of people.
Because I can barely keep my eyes open during bad Stephen King movies. Depends on how bad it is, though.
That's okay. Like I said, I'll watch it. I can stay awake. All right, so thanks everybody for dropping by, listening to us talk about The Haunting. Actually, next Monday is Halloween, so that's going to be, like I said, we'll do a haunting, but we'll also like do a Halloween special kind of thing. So you know what I mean. So thanks for dropping by. Tomorrow we'll be back talking about a movie, same time, same channel. So we will see you guys again tomorrow. Have a good evening. Good night.